Well, you know, you sometimes hear from people that the liturgy itself is a barrier to reaching out with the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's just a bunch of baloney.
Pastor Will Wheaton on his presentation, Classical Christian Worship at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer in Collinsville, Illinois.
The liturgy itself is overwhelmingly the very Word of God by which the outreach takes place. And it is an incredibly crafted balance of stuff that stays the same and of stuff that changes. So it has stability and variety automatically built into it, and it frees up the pastor to work on proclaiming the mystery of Christ that that particular liturgy is holding up for the people on that day. I think it's a great outreach tool rather than thinking of it as something that's a barrier.
Register for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, I think that the big story that recently came down, the story of both the resignation and then the selection of a new pope, it has a tendency to bring both the good and the bad out of the woodwork. You see some really, really bad reporting. We saw a lot of it when the new pope was selected. And you see some, occasionally, some really, really good reporting. What's the difference between the two? What's the difference between good reporting on a big story like Pope Francis and bad reporting on the same story? Joining us to talk about both the selection of Pope Francis, but also what some are alleging are his checkered past and good and bad reporting on the clergy abuse scandal. George Congaree formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back.
Hello.
George, what are the accusations that CNN is airing regarding Pope Francis' possible checkered past in Argentina? And have they offered in their reporting any evidence that such accusations are true?
Well, CNN, the New York Times, and a number of other American outlets are accusing Pope Francis of being morally complicit with the crimes of the Argentine military junta that ran the country in the late 70s, early 80s. That Pope Francis colluded in the arrest and torture and imprisonment of two liberal Jesuits and did nothing to help them and basically was a craven, cowardly priest who did not stand up for the gospel and did not stand up for the truth. And is there any evidence? No, no evidence whatsoever. But there's plenty of accusations out there.
Are accusations necessarily news when it comes to someone of the prominence of now Pope Francis?
Well, when accusations are made, it's good to report them. We're seeing this in the European press. For example, the main French newspapers, Le Monde, Le Figaro, Libération, they've all reported the accusations as well as the denials, and they've just played it straight down the middle, saying, this is what somebody is saying in Argentina, a journalist named Horacio Vitebsky, is accusing Francis of these activities, and he bases these accusations on the interview with a dead priest who can't corroborate the story. And it says, you know, that here's what it is, but it doesn't go as far as the New York Times or CNN, which basically says, we accept Vitebsky's remarks, and the Pope has to answer these charges, and there's a cloud over his papacy from the very first day because of this. Now, that's not news reporting. That's editorializing. And when the French are doing a better job in their reporting than the New York Times and CNN, you know we got problems.
That's the phrase that stuck out to me, and I know it did to you as well, a cloud over his papacy. That's a conclusion, isn't it?
I mean, oh, absolutely. And, well, Horacio Vitebsky, the journalist in Argentina who has made these accusations, what CNN and the New York Times and other outlets who are pushing this story have neglected to mention is that Vitebsky was a member of a terrorist group, the Monteros, during the Dirty War, and that he is a very close ally to the current regime, President Cristina Fernandez Kirchner, and is in fact a mouthpiece for Kirchner. And Kirchner is a very, very bitter enemy of Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio, now Pope Francis. So CNN takes great pleasure in reporting accusations, but doesn't provide any context of who is making the charges. So it's just sloppiness and downright mean. I think it's the only way to describe it.
Although, just very briefly, wouldn't you say in this day and age, 24-hour news cycle, global news cycle, and the story of this size, something like this, inevitably, is going to creep up at the beginning of anyone's papacy?
Yes, of course. I mean, and it's good to have all these things out there to allow the readers to interpret what's going on. And what CNN has done in particular, and the New York Times, and the Guardian in London, but not so much some of the other major international newspapers, is to make up their mind that this is the truth and then select the facts that support their argument, rather than just lay out all the facts and allow a reader to say, okay, I believe Francis, or okay, I think there's something here to look at. In other words, it's propaganda. It treats the reader as an idiot who needs to be steered in the right direction, and the right direction is to slam the Catholic Church. Now, the Catholic Church can be slammed on any number of issues. In other words, I am not a Catholic myself, and I carry no water for the Catholic Church, but I'm concerned with good journalism. And what CNN has done is lousy journalism. And their target is the Catholic Church and
all right.
Pope Francis.
You do have some kudos to hand out, however, on a different and yet somewhat related story. The Sunday's Herald in Scotland has done some, you say, just some excellent reporting on a very controversial question and story. What's the story, and why do you give them accolades for their reporting?
Well, the clergy sexual abuse scandal, that's an American story, an Australian story, a German story. And the Catholic Church has had a really bad 10 years on the clergy sexual abuse issues. And the latest story to break is that Cardinal Keith O'Brien, the Cardinal Archbishop of St. Andrews in Edinburgh, the head of the Scottish Catholic Church, resigned last month after four clergy, Catholic clergy, accused him of basically attempting to molest them, of getting drunk and trying to take advantage of them sexually. And there's a lot of huffing and puffing, and there's many, many newspapers just went overboard trying to tie O'Brien's homosexual advances toward other priests to the Catholic child abuse scandals. And then the Sunday Herald, which is Edinburgh's main paper, and it's a solid newspaper, broke a news story, which was on the very day Cardinal Keith O'Brien was made a cardinal in the Vatican. He went at a party that night at the Scots College, which is the college for Scottish seminarians in the Vatican. He made sexual advances to a young priest. And this young priest last year reported this to the Vatican, and they began the investigation, and they were very quick to force O'Brien to step down. And why this was a good story is it just reported who, what, when, where, why, and how. It didn't go into the hyperbole. It didn't try to tie this into molesting of small children. It talked about what Keith O'Brien did, what was known, and what was not known. And that's solid reporting, and it allows the reader to understand this particular issue. And why I think this was so excellent is because they didn't lay it on thick with the hyperbole and the snarkiness and the cynicism. It was actually a more devastating story about the failure of the Catholic Church to control abusive clergy leaders than if they had just pulled out all the stops. That's why it was an excellent story, because it was restrained. It allowed the reader to understand, and was all the better for it.
So with a few minutes here, talk about how, as a general principle, that is kind of the best policy of journalism, especially when it comes to religion reporting, controversial religion reporting, rather than grinding axes for a journalist to simply tell the story.
Exactly. In other words, there's an editorial page, and there are opinion columns, and there you can say whatever kookiness you want. I mean, That's your opinion. That's the author's opinion. You don't have to read it. You don't have to learn stuff from that unless you choose to, knowing you're talking to somebody who has a specific angle or agenda they're trying to push. When you read the news, you should be reading the facts as they are, the truth as it is known. The Anglo-American journalism over the last 100 years until very recently fought very hard against bias and editorializing in news reporting. You had to substantiate the things you said. You didn't use adverbs in every sentence to sort of puff up things. You laid out the story and allowed the reader to decide whether or not how they were going to make a conclusion about this issue. Whereas the new modern journalism that we see, especially in the New York Times on religion coverage, is that here is our moral worldview, and we're going to slot the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Episcopal Church, Muslims, Jews, Baptists, Hindus, into our world perspective and not allow them to speak for themselves, but just allow us to describe what we think they're up to. That's not journalism. That's a form of anthropology, and it's a form of editorializing, and it's a lousy reporting.
With only about 30 seconds here, do you see bright spots, enough bright spots to give you hope for Anglo-American journalism? About 30 seconds here, George.
Absolutely. There are some excellent newspapers, and there's some really fantastic religion reporters spread across the United States. But I can think of Ann Rogers at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, for example. The Wall Street Journal continually does an excellent job. And there are great reporters at the New York Times and at the Washington Post and at the LA Times. It's just when you get these guys who lead with an agenda and who will bring the editorializing into the story, then it's just junk.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Bill McKeever about Mormons changing references to blacks and polygamy in their holy books. That's a new one on me. And we'll also discuss music, worship, and Martin Luther with Pastor Charles St. Ange. Also, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's tomorrow. That's Friday on Issues Etc. Coming up in June, we've got a great event for our listeners. It's the very first Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This conference is part of our way of celebrating with our listeners our fifth anniversary back on the air, and we're going to be doing it right here in Collinsville, Illinois, Friday and Saturday, June the 14th and 15th. You can register online, issuesetc.org. The conference is $100 per person. You can also pay online if you wish. And if you want more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Craig 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Ask about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here We Stand, Issues Etc., and You.